It is once again for us to take a look at the pages of the Lakeville Journal here on the Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio. And we're joined by John Constant. John, good morning and thanks for joining us today.
Good morning. Good to see you.
I had an opportune time the end of last week. I had an interview set up with John Harney. And it was during that interview that he told me they were waiting to hear on the lawsuit involving the Holly Block, and son of a gun, by this weekend, Judge Andrew Rohrbeck had dismissed the suit against the Holly Block, and that housing can now looks like it can at least make some steps forward.
Yes, it is definitely a big piece of news for Lakeville, and it now is really looking to be able to put together 12 affordable housing units at Holly Place on Route 44 there, what is also kind of known as the Millerton Road. Andrew Rohrbeck issued a decision in favor of the town, and it's now really going to be a matter of waiting to see if there's an appeal. This followed a series of community forums over the past few years, was contentious right down to this week, last Friday. So the lease on Holly Block has been extended until July 2025, but they're now really sort of waiting to see whether there's an appeal and if they can proceed to go ahead and build 12 affordable housing units. Our paper does carry a kind of an architectural rendering of what it would look like. So it's worth taking a look at that.
All right. Yeah, it's right on the front page. You know, another story that you've got on the front page right next to that is the meeting between the hospital and its critics at the hearing was a meeting that showed the evident divide that sits in the community between New Vance getting rid of the emergency room status. Emergency room, the special care, and changing it to a different type of alignment for the hospital. Lots of different opinions on that.
Yes, it's really fascinating to look at the image of Dr. Kurish, who's a Sharon cardiologist who's been working with Save Sharon Hospital from the beginning, really, to object to the hospital's plans. But the photo is of Dr. Kurish and the SSH attorney in Kent, looking at a big screen of the hearing in Hartford. It's just an interesting, you know, kind of throws you forward into what kind of a world we live in now. This hearing was not as long as the last one, which was a marathon day-long hearing. But this is all about Sharon Hospital's plans to really convert its ICU into an intensive care unit, into a progressive care unit, and to really move move parts of the operation from one floor to another and really kind of maximize their utilization of resources. So both sides testified, and it's continuing now today as we speak. And then on, I think, Monday night, Sharon Hospital, Christina McCulloch, the president, is going to have a Q&A with the community. And that's also the information about that's in the paper, probably also on the Sharon Hospital website.
You know, right below the Holly Place story is an interesting story that, you know, when I graduated high school and went into radio, I was used to getting when I went to New York, I was told that there's package stores in New York and there's liquor stores in New York, but they're not the same. Connecticut was a little bit different, but now there's a possibility of wine sales in supermarkets, and that has the package stores really set up and primed to go to battle here.
Yes, this is a story by Deborah Alexinis examining a renewed push on the part of supermarkets to be able to sell certain kinds of wine in their stores. This would be limited to small vineyards, and they must produce less than 100,000 gallons or a year, 43,000 cases. But Connecticut is one of only 8 states in the United States that prohibits grocery stores from and supermarkets from selling wine. So this has led to a lot of interest. It's coming back. There was a public hearing earlier at the beginning of this month in Hartford, and it was jam-packed. People were outside, you know, in the hallways. And there was quite a bit of conversation. Maria Horn, you know, is in this story as well. Deborah talks to a number of package store owners up here in the Northwest corner and gets their view on it. But this is, and we don't hold back on the length on this story. It's a nice long story about this idea that apparently, you know, really a voter poll from UConn showed that really 84% of the state's consumers overwhelmingly want the option to buy wine where they buy groceries. But that's not what the package stores want.
Well, if it happens, it'll be a sea change. It'll be a big change because that's what's made Connecticut a little bit different all along. A great story also on the front page about Salisbury. The land trust has now put 682 acres in forever wild status.
Yes, this is a big story because forever wild is a status where it really isn't. Nothing's supposed to happen there. Nature is supposed to have its way. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4 preserves that were, you know, easement properties that have now been put into this status. This is going to be protecting a bunch of different species like black bear, moose, beaver, mink, you name it, rattlesnakes, other things. And some of these preserves actually abut the Appalachian Trail. We have a map showing where they are. And the other interesting facet here is that the Association Land Trust is also going to be able to participate in the voluntary carbon market. So that will be a possible source of revenue for them. But it's a great story. I highly recommend taking a look at it.
Something that I've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, promoting its upcoming, of course, Housatonic had their envelope event to benefit Ukraine. But the second big auction really comes up once again to benefit Ukraine. And that is coming up rather quickly. The first one was a very successful auction. I think this one featuring Ukrainian artists and more will also be successful.
Yes, this is an auction that is being organized by Andrei Wolodar and his wife, Kim Schmidt Wolodar. They are both from Millerton and New York. And they, as you mentioned, they jumped right in when the war started last year and raised really almost $500,000, and as well as took vital equipment to Ukraine soldiers. So this one is an anniversary year auction that will feature sort of a gala event over at Troutbeck. It also has the Time magazine image of what's his name? I'm drawing a blank. Volodar Yelensky. The leader of Ukraine, who was considered man of the year on the Time magazine cover. And it's Volodymyr Zelensky. It's his image as Time person of the year that's being auctioned off as well, signed by the artist. So it's a big deal.
All right. Speaking of a big deal locally, someone that I had in high school and I worked with for many years covering Housatonic sports, for like almost 20 years after I left high school, former athletic director Ed Taberski was remembered at the high school after his funeral with the naming of the gymnasium, the Edward S. Taberski Gymnasium.
Yes, Coach Taberski died in January, and on this Saturday, last Saturday, he was memorialized. There was a service at St. Joseph Church in North Canaan, and then it moved down to the high school, where there were various tributes made to him. His family was there. Friends and loved ones spoke about him and their memories of him. He was really considered the mascot of the Mountaineers, and was well known for starting a girls' sports program before Title IX even existed. And so, as you said, they dedicated the gymnasium to him. We have our Riley Klein, who does Instagram videos, has done a really great video on our Instagram page, lakevillejournal.com. You should take a look at it. It's very sweet.
All right. And in Sharon, trying to put together the final package of that Comcast proposal, once again, there's a few houses left out. And the Sharon committee that put this together, Jill Drew is one of those people, got right down to it. And they're trying to wrinkle out the final problems that by having these houses out, she's going to guess, ride around with Comcast, and really want to get, they want to get this thing done, and they want to get it done quickly.
Right. They got down to the last minute details and discovered that there were, I guess, about six properties that were a real challenge for Comcast to actually hook up. And so that didn't mix well with Jill Drew, who really wanted to have everybody in town connected. So she, as you said, offered to sort of drive around and see what the problem was. But that is still in process. There, as Brent Colley, the first selectman, pointed out, we're running out of time. So it's coming down to the wire on that one.
All right. And a little story, but a good story. Once again, composting comes to the rise. Falls Village Composting Program is going to get off the ground beginning in March.
Yes. This is a little story about the transfer station getting ready to, you know, explain and show and hand out starter kits for composting in Falls Village at the transfer station. And on it's coming up March 4th. They will sort of start this off. There's a rain day to March 11th, but then on Friday, March 10th, there's going to be a film showing Leon Young's a research analyst showing Let's Talk Trash. And that will be at the library, at the David Hunt Library. So they're getting ready for composting and trash over there in Falls Village.
And this wild winter that we've had of almost a non-winter brings us to the next story, a plant's eye view on February weather swings.
Yes, this is a really wonderful story by Jana Siller, who is sort of giving us the lowdown on what it meant, you know, in this past, we're still in February, but, you know, on one day, on February 4th in February, it was minus 15 degrees at the Great Mountain Forest weather station. And the next day, and actually wind chill made it feel like minus 44, but the next day there were kids in Falls Village riding around town on their bikes without coats. So she takes a look and talks to several scientists about what it really means to plant life and to some degree animal life to have these kinds of temperature swings. There's also an interesting photo of a young girl drinking fresh sap right out of a tree, pointing out that it is slightly sweet water that can be boiled down to become maple syrup. But this is really an exploration of what it meant this month to have such nutty weather.
You know, when I saw that picture, it just goes back to what I've talked about it on the air numerous times. We used to tap trees on our property when I was a kid for maple syrup. And I finally was banned from tapping them because I would, as I would try to empty the buckets, I would drink. I was told I drank too much.
It's also bad. Drinking sugar water is not the best thing for your teeth either.
Well, it's proved out in final years. But anyways, that brought a lot of memories back to me. Once again, we're talking with John Costin, the Lakeville Journal. And of course, you can find the Lakeville Journal throughout our tri-state region for pickup in various stores and locations. You can get it for home delivery, and you can also get it the way I do it. I get a copy of the paper, and I'll get subscribed digitally at tricornernews.com. I want to go to the next section you have, and that is celebrating our agricultural leaders, National FFA Work Week. And of course, we here are so lucky to have really an outstanding, one of the most outstanding FFA chapters in the country here at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
Yes, this page is a sort of participating in the National FFA Week, which is started on the 28th and ends on the 25th, a couple days left. It features a lead story by Riley Klein on James or Jimmy Cricket Jackier, who is the son of Bob Jackier, East Canaan Farms. It's called the Jackier Farm, Laurel Brook Farm. It's the really big farm that everybody knows on the right-hand side going eastbound on Route 44 at the edge of Canaan. And Jackier is chairman of the AgriMark family dairy farms and in New England, and is third generation dairy farmer. So he and his family helped really rebuild the kitchen at Housie so that the kids could, you know, work on food and get a better idea of where food comes from. So they gave him an award for doing that. He was quite surprised. There's a package of photos as well on this page showing showing FFA members in various activities that they do, including, you know, the Christmas wreath project at the school every year. So it's a great moment to celebrate. We do the same thing in Millerton with the FFA over there in Pine Plains.
All right. You want to go to the editorial pages and the letters to the editor pages. Your editorial, a lengthy editorial on restoring a park.
Yeah, how can you not like restoring a park? I mean, this is an editorial that really commends the citizens who, as you remember, about a year ago, a little over a year ago, there was snow on the ground, and the trees were being whacked down at Housatonic Meadows. And so there were protests, and the protests turned into legislation, and hearings were held to try to keep DEEP from doing that again. But what also happened was a group of environmentalists got together and decided to really, they had to find some way to do some restoration. So these protests turned into a collaborative effort. And as of this month, they're getting ready now to do more volunteer work in the park this summer, starting in May and June. They've already worked with DEEP to plant 21 new trees. And it's just a nice sort of look at how sometimes things with real pressure and real energy turn into collaboration and a good result.
It really shows that when people get out, they can make a difference in politics, and they can make a difference, especially on the local level, turning into the state level. Taking a look at some of the letters to the editor, once again, Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health, as there's a letter about that. Also, a rebuttal letter written by Joycelyn Ayer. Once again, a letter to thank Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Service. So once again, a whole bunch of letters that people are expressing their opinions.
Right. And I think it's great that the letters on the hospital have been such active participation on the community. Some of the people who are writing letters are also, contributing to these hearings. Dr. Kirsch from Sharon, as I mentioned before, he has written a letter. Bob Maxwell from Sharon has written a letter. They definitely are stepping up to really, you know, get this issue as fully aired as possible. I'm sure we'll have more letters to come.
All right. We'll move on to your viewpoint page, where you have an interview with the 39th president. And where did everyone go? And what did I do with this stuff?
I know. These are they're both very interesting. Tom Shachtman has written what's called the Long View. His column is looking at the time when he interviewed Jimmy Carter, and he sort of takes us down somewhat of a memory lane. Then Eileen Epperson has written about grief and what it's like when something like that happens and people are asking you, you know, where have you been? Or, you know, I'm calling because I haven't heard from you and I know you love me and probably don't know what to say. Is that right? So it's a really sweet piece on how to deal with grief when someone is gone.
All right. And finally, let's take a look at Compass. You've got a lot in Compass this week.
Yeah, Compass starts off with an absolutely wonderful profile of a young artist, Theda Galvin. She is a student at Hoosie and has been creating art, doll art. She's been creating dolls. Alex Wilburn sort of interviewed her and got a sense of how she does this. She currently has a solo show. She's been selected as the first student for a solo show at the new Kircher Monsell Gallery, and it's entitled Interior Motives. Dolls are fascinating to look at, and she has done a beautiful job of drawing her characters and the way that her dolls are created from what Galax calls the nerdier corners of the internet. They're strong images, and it's a great story. Then we also do a little piece from Leela Hawken on houseplants, you know, done by Tova Martin. And it was sponsored by the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon and the Essex Memorial Library in Essex, Connecticut. But it takes a nice long look at, you know, how to do indoor gardening and indoor growing.
Well, there's these stories, which we touched upon, and many, many more. And this week's edition of the Lakeville Journal, and of course, on the New York side of the border, Millerton News. And John and I are going to talk over the course of the next week and see if we can combine both the Millerton News and the Lakeville Journal together to bring you the full coverage spectrum that the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News cover. John, it's great to speak to you. I'll speak to you during the week, and have yourself a good week.
Thank you so much, Marshall.